ability, in my opinion, and God knows what we're doing and God knows our hearts, and we want to make sure that we are faithful to Him. It's a wonderful scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's pray and ask God's blessing and help as we look at His Word tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the power and the authority of Your Word. Lord, it is a living book. Lord, it knows everything about us. And we can look to Your Word and we can grow and we can learn. And Lord, we can be better Christians because of it. So Lord, I pray that You would teach us these biblical principles. That You would help us to be a good soldier for You in these days. We love You. We thank You for all that You've done. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the passage of Scripture before us, we consider the perseverance and the endurance of a child of God. And there's wonderful truth that here the Apostle Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, a young man who had trusted the Lord and was preparing for ministry himself, and he gives to this young man, Timothy, vital information in the Christian life. If we are going to be successful in the Christian life, if we are going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, then these truths are so important in our life. Greenfell, a great explorer, met with Dwight Moody in Boston in 1897. He told D.L. Moody that 14 years ago I was saved in one of your meetings. Moody then responded without hesitation, "What have you been up to since?" The Christian life is a spiritual battle. And we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Jesus said it this way. He said, Continue. Endure hardness, the Bible says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There are three pictures of the Christian in the scripture I read to you tonight. First of all, the Bible says that we are a soldier. Secondly, the Bible illustrates the fact that we are an athlete, that we are to run the race that's set before us, that we are to strive for masteries, and if we're going to do it, if we're going to be crowned, if we're going to win, then we're going to have to do it the right way. We're going to have to do it lawfully, the Bible says. You can't run by your rules. You can't do it your own way. You've got to follow God's instructions. And then the Bible also gives us the illustration in the Scripture of a farmer. It talks about the fact that we are soil and God is planting in our life and in our heart, and that God wants to use us in a wonderful way. But we're going to think about tonight a soldier. We're going to talk about being a good soldier. The reality is, if you're a Christian, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. The moment you got saved, you were enlisted. You are in the army of God. Now, you're a soldier, but that doesn't mean you're a good soldier. The Bible says that we ought to be good soldiers. What are some characteristics of a soldier? Well, I think, first of all, a soldier is a follower. He's a follower. No one can be a good leader unless first they're a good follower. You know, in the military, there is almost always someone in rank above you, in whose orders you must follow. Following Jesus is not an option, it is a command. The Bible teaches us that we are to follow the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ." 1 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says, "Therefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." As a Christian, we ought to be a follower. We are to obey the Lord and His commands. But also as a soldier, we are to be a fighter. A soldier is trained to and taught to fight the fight. He is not to cower. He is not to retreat. He is to face the enemy for the honor of his country. And we are soldiers of a greater country. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus. And the reality is, friend, that we are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. We are to be a follower. We are to fight. We are to be familiar. We are to be familiar with the strategy of the enemy. Paul said that we are not ignorant of his devices. I would challenge most Christians are ignorant of the devices of the devil. I would challenge the fact that the devil on most days have Christians exactly where he wants them. The Bible says that we're not to be ignorant of the devil. We're not to be ignorant of his wiles or his trickery. We are to understand that he is a roaring lion and he seeketh to devour us. Satan doesn't love us. He doesn't care about us. He wants to destroy us. We ought to be familiar with the strategy of the enemy, but also we should be skillful in our weaponry. Our weaponry is the Bible. We should know the Word of God. We should know the Word of God. You know, in North America, I would think that most homes have not just one Bible, but two Bibles, three Bibles, maybe four Bibles, five, six Bibles in their home. We have lots of Bibles in our home. But are we trained in the Word of God? Do we know what God has to say? Do we know the Word of God to fight the enemy, to fight against the wiles of the devil? Or are we just following the whims of the world? Do we know what God says? It is our offensive weapon, the Word of God. And so we're to be a follower. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We're to be familiar with the enemy and the Word of God. But also, we are to be faithful. To be faithful. To remain true. Even in hardness. I want us to consider this as we move into this message and the encouragement of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about being a soldier tonight. You can write some of these thoughts down, I hope will be a blessing to you. Number one, I want us to consider the perseverance in the crisis. The perseverance in the crisis. The Bible says in our text in verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." A good soldier endures. A good soldier endures. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Thou therefore," the Bible says, "therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I charge thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession among many witnesses." James 1:12 says this, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Endure hardness. The word hardness speaks of the idea of afflictions. The idea is roadblocks in the pathway of your life. Now, all of us have faced roadblocks in our life. Some have faced cancer. Some of you have faced family matters. Some have faced disappointments that have come, shattered dreams, loss of loved ones. These are hardness. These are roadblocks that come into our life. And it's not a matter of these roadblocks coming or these hardness or these trials or afflictions coming, because the Bible says that we will face them. They will come into our life. But it is how you respond to the hardness that comes into your life. You can get better or you can get bitter. And there are many soldiers that have were crushed beneath the weight of hardness that came into their life. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 20 in our Bibles and notice here the words of the servant of the Lord as he writes a message for each of us, I believe. Acts chapter 20 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 20, this is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. We'll begin our reading in verse number 19 together. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 19. The Bible says this, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from host to host, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, laying that bonds and afflictions abide me." And notice what the Bible says in verse 24. "But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that all that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." I mean, listen, you've heard of master classes. The Apostle Paul could teach a master class on hardness. He could teach a class on afflictions. And yet he could also teach us a lesson in being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says in this passage of Scripture, "I face many afflictions. I face many temptations. I've cried many tears. I've battled in many battles." And yet he says, "None of these things move me. I have kept the course. I've kept serving Jesus. I kept doing what God has called me to do." Afflictions are going to come. I wish I could keep them away from each of you, but cannot. They'll come into your life, they'll come into my life. And we need to be ready, we need to brace ourselves, we need to look unto Jesus. But more importantly, we must endure these afflictions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure afflictions. We cannot be a good soldier if we keep running from the afflictions and doing nothing from Jesus. I've met Christians that used to serve the Lord and used to be on fire for God and used to, but they don't serve the Lord anymore. Why? Because, I'll be honest, not a good soldier of Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said it this way, "It has been well said that we write our benefits in dust and our injuries in marble. And it is equally true that we generally inscribe our afflictions upon brass, while the records of God's deliverance are written in water. We forget often how good God is, and we are always focusing on the afflictions that come into our life." You see, the Lord gets His best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. The brightest crowns are won in heaven that have been tried and smelted and polished and glorified through the furnace of affliction. Someone said, "It is not every man who suffers that is blessed, but he who with patience and consistency goes through all difficulties in the way of duty. Afflictions cannot make us miserable if we be not our own fault. The tried Christian shall be a crowned one. The crown of life is promised to all who love God and has God reigning in their hearts." Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, I find in this passage of Scripture the perseverance in the crisis, but I want us to consider the purpose for our commitment. The purpose for our commitment. Look what the Bible says. We'll go back to the text here. And we'll look at verse number 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We read verse number 3. "Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." But look what the Bible says in verse 3, the beginning of this verse. It says, "Thou therefore." And any time in the Bible you see the word "therefore," you should always read the verse before to see why it's "therefore." The Bible says in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, our endurance is for His cause. For His cause. Paul looked at his life. He looked at all of his suffering, his difficulties. And do you know how he summed it all up to the church at Corinth? He said, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." You see, the Apostle Paul endured for the cause of Jesus Christ. The reality is that we could say the reason for the endurance is so that other soldiers are enlisted. We endure to enlist. We endure so that we can be a help and a blessing to other people, that we would be faithful among many witnesses, that we could commit this teaching to other people. Listen, if every soldier of Jesus quit when they came to hardness, there would be no Christians remaining to teach others to live for God. That's a true statement. You can write it down. There has never been a Christian that has had sunshine and roses all of their life and everything has been wonderful. Listen, every Christian has had afflictions come into their life, and so we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we are to endure hardness so that we can preach and train and help other people in the Great Commission and telling people of the gospel and training them to be faithful so that they could train others to be faithful, so that they could train others to be faithful. It is all for His glory, not our glory, for His glory. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But not only do we endure for His glory and for His cause, but also we endure by His example. Jesus is the only Christian that has ever run the Christian race perfectly in every way. And we always look to Him how to live the Christian life. You know, the problem with a lot of Christians when they come to endurance or afflictions, they always look at another Christian. You can always find another Christian that's not running the race the way you're running the race. And you could always make that excuse. "Well, yeah, you know what? I'm not a good person, but I'm not a good Christian, but I'm a lot better than so-and-so." You'll always find a so-and-so. Don't compare yourself with so-and-so. Compare yourself to Jesus and then see how you make out. You'll always fall short. Jesus is our example. And He endured, and He's our example. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, look at this word, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the cross wasn't the joy of Jesus. It was the result of the cross that made the Lord joyful. The fact that people would come after Him and put their faith and trust in Him as their Savior, the only way to heaven, the only way that we can be redeemed, the only way that we can have a home in heaven, and we can put our faith and trust in the Lord, and we can be a part of His family. The Bible says He endured the cross for you and for me. I was looking through my old files the other day, and I came across the very first sermon I've ever preached. I was in Bible college, and that was how many years ago? I'm going to guess 17 years ago? No? More than that? 20 years ago. My wife has all the numbers. She's brilliant with numbers. She can, like a license plate. Don't ever do a crime in front of her because she can memorize your license plate just like that. I mean, she's quick with numbers. 20 years ago, and I was looking through my files, and I found my sermon, the first sermon I ever preached 20 years ago, and I was reading through it, and I came across an illustration that I used. And it was just an incredible illustration of a gentleman that had run into a fire. A firefighter ran into a fire to save someone. And as he grabbed that individual and tried to bring him to safety, everything just kind of came over him mentally, and he couldn't bring himself to stand. He just fell beneath the weight of all of it. And he sat there in tears as that man who couldn't walk and couldn't respond. I mean, he stared at him, and he mustered up enough strength to leave that building. This, by the way, was during 9/11, and he mustered up enough strength and left that building. And they interviewed him. They said, "You're a hero. You're a hero. What motivated you to keep on going?" And he said, "In that moment, I realized that my endurance wasn't just about me. Other people depended on it." And I want to suggest to you that our endurance also has other people in the balance. Our family, co-workers, our neighbors, our friends. I mean, you are Christian to them. You are the only Bible they may ever read. And our endurance in hardness and in affliction, listen, it's during the affliction that they want to see what you believe is real. They want to see God's grace in your life. They want to see God at work in your life. Oh yeah, you're a Christian and everything's wonderful in the good times, but let's see how it is in the hard times and the afflictions. They want to see if the God you serve is the God that can really do what you say He can do. And friend, He can. The example of the Lord Jesus is for others, and His cause and saving souls and building and establishing His church. And the reality is that we must endure affliction as a good soldier for Jesus Christ because of His example, but also because of His cause. And so we find perseverance in the crisis. We find purpose for our commitment. But lastly, let's notice a principle for every Christian. The Bible says this in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The Bible says that we are not to be entangled with the world. The world, the word there is to be involved in, to be tangled up in. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the worst end the latter end is worse than the beginning. Paul said in this scripture that no soldier that entangles himself in the world is a good soldier. They are not a good soldier. They are not good in the affairs of battle, but they are a sidetracked soldier. And the Apostle Paul knew everything about that. He knew the outcome of a soldier that cared more about the world than the battle. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he wrote about it. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, with a broken heart, he says, "For demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world." Not a good soldier. Demas got caught up with life and forgot about the Lord. He got focused on his own affairs and his own success, and he forgot about the cause of God, the purposes of God. Demas did not endure. He became sidetracked with the affairs of life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look at this. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Listen to me. Before a pastor ever gives up behind the pulpit, he thought about it in his mind. Before he faints, he becomes weary in his mind. And the Bible teaches us this such important principle. Because there may be some Christians here that, yeah, you're here tonight, but in your mind, you've already fainted. You've already thrown in the towel. You've already been under the weight of affliction in your life, and you're just like, "I don't know if I can take another step. Lord, you're going to have to help me." And I say that God's grace is sufficient and God can help you. And I believe the answer is to consider the Lord, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The greatest example of this in the Bible, I believe it really sums up the Christian life, is the life of Peter when he walks on the water. We often say of Peter, "Well, yeah, I know, but you know, he didn't walk very long." Hey, listen, did you ever walk on water? The answer is no. I mean, Peter had the faith to get out of the boat and start walking on water. And the problem is, he started to look at the waves. He started to look at the sea, and he started to think in his mind, "Hey, I can't walk on water." And then he began to sink. You know what the greatest truth of that passage of Scripture is that Jesus was right there to reach down and to pull Peter back to the ship. And He's always there, friends. He's always there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to encourage you as we move into another lockdown. Are you frustrated? Absolutely. Am I frustrated? Absolutely. I mean, I was rendered useless when I read the news. I couldn't think. I was frustrated. And yet, let's keep in the battle. Let's stay in the fight. Let's keep serving the Lord. Let's keep on being faithful. Friend, listen, let's be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Many of you know my testimony. My dad died when I was 15. He was a wonderful Christian man. love the Lord very much. My fondest memories of my dad was waking up in the morning and seeing him on his favorite chair reading the Bible. And he did it every day. And when he died, my sisters were kind enough to give to me his Bible. And I was looking through it one morning, and I came across this poem. And I've kept it close to my heart ever since. It's really what my dad, he lived by, and it was his testimony. Let me read it to you. It says, "I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Scripture is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in the army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. Because I'm a soldier. I am not a baby. I don't need to be pampered or petted or primed up or pumped up or picked up or pepped up. No, I'm a soldier. No one needs to call me or remind me or write me or visit me or entice me or lure me. No, I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in my place, saluting my king, obeying my orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, or food, or cards, or candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled or cradled or cared for or catered to. I'm committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my need. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me, and hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from his battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching, heaven bound. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're all a part of the army of God. We are all soldiers tonight. Let's be good soldiers. Amen. Let's pray together.